B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifschitz. We're known as the Bankroll Boys. Go buy our t-shirts at the 98.5 The Sports Hub store, which I'm told they're the hottest shirt going, Dan. So, and they make them in 4 and 5X. How about that?
Lovely.
So for those big guys out there, get yourself a nice little summer shirt, you know. You can cut it if you want. Cut the sleeves off for the big guys.
Oh, you want to make it like a gym shirt.
We can make it a gym shirt, okay. Cut it, maybe wear it at the beach, you know. Nice little shirt there. So a lot on tap today, considering that you might not think there was a lot going on in the sports world today. But there's obviously, we'll get the Red Sox reaction from last night. That should be good. Also, tonight is the Conor McGregor Dustin Poirier fight. There's a bunch of undercards as well, Dan, which should be pretty interesting on that front. What else do we have here? I have Wimbledon. Hey, we got a Wimbledon women's final today at 9 o'clock, Dan. For those true degenerates who like to bet at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning, how about this one? Neymar versus Messi.
Yeah.
Copa.
Brazil, Argentina. Yep, that's a good one.
That's a good one right there. And then you got the Euro final of Italy, England this week as well. So you got two good, pretty good soccer football matches there. The NBA finals will have game 3 tomorrow night. So the series moves to Milwaukee. NHL futures. The season ended this week, of course, back-to-back championships for the Lightning. But the odds are out for next year. And we'll tell you where the Bruins stand on that one. The Home Run Derby is this week coming up over in Colorado. There's news on the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder match. That one could be in jeopardy. College football futures, something that we're going to begin to talk about as we're, I don't know, 2 weeks away.
I mean, we have to start ramping it up real soon. Pretty much, you have all the championship lines, the conference winners, the over-unders, everything's out. So we're going to ramp that up in the next week or two.
And the NBA draft is just a few weeks away as well.
Three weeks or so.
3 weeks, okay. Three weeks from Thursday. That's right. And one of the biggest events of the year that people love to bet on, and over-unders on where people will place and things like that. So a lot on the docket today. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you at 617-779-0985. Last week we were in vacation mode. We gave a few picks. So Dan, on the account, for the Twitter account, for those who follow, at over-under-985 on Twitter, are you only posting losses on there?
Am I?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. Because I thought we had a pretty good weekend last week. Again, I woke up on Tuesday morning and I saw the old positive in the old account there. What did I hit? The over in the Joey Chestnut?
So I actually need to post last week's.
Over Jeffrey Esper. And I had, this is just what I had.
Yep.
And then I had, both teams to score in the Italy-Spain game.
You also had Nick Leahy or whatever his name is.
I can't remember. Yeah. Did he go under?
No, he went over. He went by over. Half a dog.
Oh, that one sucks.
Yep.
And then, obviously, I had the Bucks. The Bucks on Thursday night. Was it Thursday? Yeah, Thursday night. And there was a wrangle involved. And for those who don't understand the wrangle, they announce who the officials are the day of, like the morning of.
9 a.m.
And, you know, there's Twitter handles that you can follow, NBA refs or NBA official stats. But you can see, like, who these officials favor, whether it's the home team or the away team. And the other night, the head officials, or at least the veteran officials, favored the road team. And before the game, Dan, I know you mentioned this on our appearance with Toucher and Rich, that Budenholzer was on the refs. He was on them about some of the calls he didn't make, and they didn't get the calls. There was an anti-wrangle on Thursday night. Now, granted, you know, Giannis scores 20 points in the third quarter, and he finishes with 42. And after the game, Budenholzer goes after the refs again. And I don't know. I mean, I guess he might have been as shocked as we were. But I think the difference in that game really was Devin Booker, man. He was, you know, Middleton scores 11 points and kind of went quiet. And Devin Booker was like, you know what? I'm going to hit these big shots. And he did.
All right. So quickly, before we kind of get into it. First off, Giannis had 18 free throws himself. The team shot 23 overall, 18 free throws. The Suns shot 14. So, I mean, I felt that Milwaukee was definitely helped, especially in that third quarter.
Yeah, I agree.
With the free throw disparity, and that kind of helped the game. Second, we talked about it, and we kind of talked about it last week. Really, we've been talking about it for the past couple weeks. Have you been entertained by the series so far, Joe?
Oh, it's a complete. If we didn't bet on it, I wouldn't even watch it.
No. And the answer is no. And the answer is that most of the NBA casuals aren't watching. The ratings for game one were down 35% from 2019. Yes, they were up from 2020 when no one was watching basketball. No one was watching sports, period. And to use that as a barometer is not what you want if you're the NBA. Like, nothing could be worse than last year. So the ratings are up from last year, but they're getting crushed from 2019. The NBA needs to make the series interesting because watching Milwaukee is so boring. So they play such a boring style of game. Phoenix is electric and fun to watch, man. I mean, I do not like Chris Paul. Never have, never will. But the watching Phoenix play as a team is fun. Milwaukee is so boring, and they need to figure it out. So I'm hoping that the NBA figures it out. Game three is interesting, and this series starts to be interesting moving forward. It's kind of frustrating to watch them right now. But this series, I have an interesting way to bet the series, Joe. And there have been people who have talked about it. I'm not the first one. I'm not the only one. We didn't really get to talk about it, you know, pre-series or whatever. But Chris Paul for MVP right now. Is you can find it anywhere from the -150 to -200 range. Okay. Why is Chris Paul in the -150-ish range to win the MVP? I mean, he should probably be around the same price as the Suns, because if the Suns win the series, who's going to be the MVP after Paul's ridiculous game one performance and just really the narrative around him? I mean, he was fantastic in game two as well. Obviously, you know, he didn't put up 31 like Devin Booker. You know, he didn't have the game that Miles Bridges had, which is definitely the Bridges game. But the fact is that if anyone is going to win the MVP on Phoenix, it's going to be Chris Paul. Can we agree there?
Yeah, maybe because of the whole angle of him being, you know, the oldest player and not to win yet. I still think Booker was the difference in that game, too.
No, there's I'm telling you, it's not Devin Booker.
No, I hear you. It's like Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. Again, it's not, unless Devin Booker goes Deion Branch, like that's not going to happen. So the way I'm approaching is if you want the Phoenix Suns, there is still a way to bet this appropriately at a reasonable price, in my opinion, and that's Chris Paul to win the MVP. The other side of the coin is that Giannis to win the MVP in some shops is 5-1. I mean, again, if there's going to be an MVP from Milwaukee, especially after what Giannis has done the first two games, it's going to be Giannis. I mean, Giannis is going to have to be the guy who leads this team and wills this team to victory. Now, Jrue Holiday, and you guys now like to call him J-Rue, obviously the story here, but Jrue Holiday has been poopy at the first two games. Really has. He's been a disaster. He was terrible versus Paul defensively game one, offensively game two, 7 of 21, 17 points. And we were on the under prop on him in game two, Joe, for his point total under 18 and a half that hit. He's been frustrating to watch this series so far, and they need Jrue Holiday to be much better. Chris Middleton also had a terrible game too, 5 of 16 in the field, 11 points. He was probably their worst player, but just in general, I think Holiday's been the worst player of the series for Milwaukee. They need him to be so much better. So much better. And if he doesn't step it up game three, this series is over. So I do think that the way, if you're still interested in betting the series, Chris Paul to win the MVP, I think that is going to be, it would be, take something very significant for him not to win the MVP for Phoenix. And I think Giannis at 5-1, that holds better value than the series price for Milwaukee, which is, you know, 3.5-1 some places, something like that, 4-1. I think you're holding some better value there. So that would be the way I would approach it if you're still looking to bet the series, because so many people have asked me, I have Bucks tickets, how do I hedge? Bucks tickets, how do I hedge? This is how you hedge. You take Chris Paul MVP, because I really think this is I think personally easier than betting a Super Bowl MVP who's usually the quarterback. I think this is easier.
I still have my Bucks +100 or +110 ticket, I think it is.
Yep.
They're now +400.
Around that range.
We'll talk about it in a little bit, but I don't think the series is over just yet.
The old saying is the series doesn't begin until the home team loses. I mean, so, you know, I will say there is a lot of money coming in on Milwaukee to win game three. A lot of money.
I can tell you this, and we talked about this on our podcast. I can tell you this as fact. A lot of people lost money on Milwaukee in game two.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot. The amount of people just that you respect were on them. But just from what I've seen locally here, for anybody who has, because I'm telling you, there's no interest right now. From what I hear, the locals here did, locally here, not, they're begging for action.
By the way, I've actually heard the same.
They're begging for action.
I'm telling you, this series, it's fun for the NBA fans who like don't want the super teams, and I get that. But you're telling me Phoenix Brooklyn isn't a 1,500 times more entertaining series?
I mean, the Clippers say anything.
But if it's Brooklyn in this series, I'm locking it. I'm paying very close attention. But, I mean, it's, you know.
Star power means something in the NBA. And listen, this is the 1 year. Go back 15 years. This is the 1 year where it wasn't predictable.
Yep.
You know, between Steph Curry, LeBron James, trying to think of who the regular characters have been over the last.
I mean, it's been you know, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard kind of mixed in there.
Yeah, I guess
we'll
throw Durant in the mix if you want.
Yep, Kevin Durant. I mean, those have been, you know, the consistent guys early in the past 5, 6, 7 years, you know, in the NBA Finals. And you know, this year, obviously not, and obviously Miami. I think you can make an argument that Miami was a bit of a revelation last year, but I think that there are a lot of people who saw that coming and thought that Milwaukee was kind of more of a paper tiger. And man, if Milwaukee loses this year, dude, oh man, I cannot see them running it back. And by the way, there are some very strong NBA rumors percolating that Kawhi Leonard is going to be leaving the LA Clippers and heading and taking his talents to South Beach. And if that's the case, Milwaukee is done. I mean, you'll have two super teams in the NBA. Not saying it's going to happen, just saying there are rumors out there. And if that happens, you'll have Brooklyn and you'll have Miami, and maybe in a year or two you'll have Boston, and now you are super screwed. Yeah, I mean, that's it. This is your chance if you're Milwaukee.
Yeah, this has been all set up for Giannis and. We talked about this a little bit yesterday on Touch and Rich, but like, he's flawed. But late in that game, Middleton, where was he? He disappeared. And I'll defend Middleton because he brought them there when Giannis wasn't there. But it's funny because after the game, Giannis is like, "Yeah, Holiday will be there for us. Middleton will be there for us later on." Like, how about you, Giannis? I know you had 20 points in the third quarter, and you tried to do everything you could, but. He's flawed, man. He's a flawed player.
He's also probably not 100%.
Yeah, he looked good though. He looked better.
He has. I'm just saying, like it's hard. It's hard to be hard on Giannis right now. The way he's come back from that injury, the fact that he's playing at the level he is right now is in my opinion, very impressive. Very impressive. The fact that he's playing near what he is right now. So, I don't know. To me, I'm not going to get on Giannis. I see no reason to get on the guy who has been, in my opinion, fantastic.
All right. The Red Sox played last night, and Garrett Richards played. It's been something that we've been wondering how to bet this guy this year, and I think a prop hit last night that we'll discuss here on the other side. The phone number, once I figure out how to release the hounds, is 617-779-0985. The allergies are back. For myself, just heard Dan. I don't know if
that was definitely an allergy.
Tom Morgan, I don't know what's going on again, but you know, as all that rain comes in, and then here comes the old pollen. So, but hey, we got a ton of it. And if you're excited about the Conor McGregor fight, that do you think we're losing buzz on that too? Maybe there's like no buzz on that, man. We'll get into that. It's all on the table here. You listen to the DraftKings over.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Over for water.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dig. All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. It is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. We're off a long weekend. Kind of flew by this week. I got home on Tuesday, Dan.
I was home Monday night.
And the week flew by. So it is interesting, though. Like, not much to watch on the tube. I know the Lightning took care of business, finally. Are you, by the way, are you okay on that series now? Was it worth, like, you know, you were like, oh, if you're rooting for this team, you know, you're an idiot or whatever.
No, I mean,
it wasn't, people
misunderstood. It wasn't the series Tampa Montreal that I was complaining about. It was in general, the fact that people were rooting for Montreal, guys like Big Jim, Matt McCarthy.
McCarthy. That was like a heel turn.
Garbage take.
Or it's a weird
and
turn.
And he's openly admitted it was a garbage take. Yeah, McCarthy, you deserve the L there. Like, rooting for that team, I don't get it. Like, even if, and like everyone's like, oh, I wasn't born in Boston. So what? So you're rooting for Montreal against Vegas because of what reason? Because they're a fun story?
I didn't root for them. I did think they were a good story.
That's such a stupid reason to root for.
But I wasn't rooting for them.
I know.
I can't root for that fan base.
But like you, like oh, they're a fun story, so I'm rooting for them.
Did you like
if that? Is that how you like determine your like who you root for in sport? It's such a stupid reason. Sorry.
I bet on teams sometimes out of spite. You know,
you could betting against a team because you hate them. That's not exactly a brilliant way to make money, and you will absolutely lose your butt doing that. So I highly suggest that you don't.
I had Northwestern this year against Ohio State, and I did it just because I didn't want to. I just was trying to make the case for Ohio State not making it. They covered, I think. By the way,
they did, but I would never bet that way. It's a terrible.
Oh yeah, it's not a
terrible
strategy
way to approach betting. But rooting against someone just because you hate them is totally fine. Hey, rooting for someone because they're a fun story—that's, in my opinion, that's the stupidest. That's the stupidest thing about how sports has evolved in the past, like 5 to 10 years. So like how like all these people are like, oh, we have to be positive about everything and everything has to be super fun and happy and we love good stuff. No, like you can hate teams. You're still able to hate players and hate teams. And like I don't know. That is the thing that I hate most about sports fandom these days, is that it's like, oh, like, you know, it's toxic and negative to root against a team because you don't like them. Well, that sucks for you. I'm never going to root for the Yankees. I'm never going to root for the Montreal Canadiens ever. I'm never going to root for the New York Jets. Like, that stuff is not going to happen.
Yep. So. All right. Well, the phone lines are unblocked thanks to Tom Morgan.
There you go.
I don't know who did that.
I bet you $20 it was Joe Murray.
You think it was me?
I think you probably.
I just turned it on.
Yeah. It was in the other control room.
All right.
Ah, damn. Blame Jamelli.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
I will gladly.
Fine. You know, I think I owe Joe a drink, and I owe Nick a little bit of a hard time.
Seems
fair. Jamelli? What? Doesn't make any sense. Anyways, all right, continue.
I got a text from Mark Jamelli yesterday.
Oh.
Wants me to call him.
Okay.
Yep. Said, Joe, call me. I said, all right, man, I'll call you.
You calling him today?
It's Saturday. He's probably already had a few Manhattans. You know?
7 a.m. 7:30 a.m.
Do you think he's rooting for the Azuri?
Yeah.
What do you think the North End's going to be like if Italy wins?
Oh, boy. So that's a place where you want to be if they win.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely you want
to
be.
Oh, and what's the place I used to go to?
And that is a place you absolutely want to avoid like heck if they lose, dude. If England wins, oh, boy. Stay, like, you know what I mean? Like that. That's not a place I want to be.
Oh, dude, there's a wicked soccer bar. Cafe Della Sport. That's the spot. If anybody wants to get on Hanover Street.
I mean, Lear used to be the real spot for all the footy shenanigans.
I don't think it's open anymore.
No, it's closed.
Yeah, because I got my shot up across the street.
That also used to be the Arsenal bar. I used to go there and you know, not all the time, but from time to time, go in to watch Arsenal in the mornings.
Do you remember, this was years ago, had to be almost 10 years ago, but do you remember when Michigan and Wisconsin, I think, they each scored a 70-point game in football. And I went to a bar, might have been the it just closed recently, the tavern. And every time Michigan would score, all the dudes would do push-ups inside the bar, like everywhere I went. But yeah, Cafe Della Sport, man, that's going to be Italy City. When it comes to that game later this week. All right, let's get to the Garrett Richards stuff quickly, and we'll get into anything you guys want to talk about at 617-779-0985. So the totals, when he pitches, I think it's an automatic over. And I'll go back over the last few games. Like that Royals game went over. He pitched all right, though. Last night, the total went over. So I'm curious, when he's on the mound, is there an automatic overplay when it comes to Garrett Richards and the Red Sox?
No, because the books have already adjusted, and I think the last time he went under was June 1st against the Astros. It was 5-1. Since then, 6-5, 6-5, 10-8, 8-2, 6-5, 7-6, 11-5. So I don't know what the total in that Rays
game was. Oh, they had to be over on those ones.
I don't know what the Rays game was. That was 8-2, so I'm assuming that probably is over, but that could be an under. That could be an under if it was 11-ish, which has been the total in his recent games. Look, Richards has really struggled and has been pretty god-awful since his last start June 1st, or since that June 1st start, where he went 6 innings, gave up 2 earned, and I think that was like his last, you know, decent start. Since then, his ERA went from 3.75 to 4.91. He's given up, you know, 3-5 against the Yanks, 4-5 1/3 against the Jays, 6-4 earned against the Braves, 5 runs, 4 earned, and 1 2/3 against the Rays, 5 earned in that game against Kansas City you're just talking about. I guess he did have a good start versus Oakland, 2 earned and 5 against Oakland,
yeah,
on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll give
and
him
then
that.
3 earned and 5, I'd still say that's a bit of a struggle. He did have 4 strikeouts. But here's the thing, that the books are adjusting to that number, Joe, and this is one of those things where if you jump on it too late, you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned by the Richards overs, especially if the books adjust. I mean, take a look at the over today in the Martin Perez. And by the way, Perez has not been any better. So don't try and tell me that, you know, Perez is a good starter who's giving you quality innings. Perez has been an absolute gas can, you know, this year. And I expect that to continue. You know, yeah, he hasn't shown me anything this year. Now, he has had a couple good starts in a row, to be fair. He has a 3.89 ERA. His FIP is 4.27. Like, you know, he's kind of lucked out.
FIP for those
fielding independent pitching. Thank that's a lot of guys who like use XFIP, which is you know, fielding independent pitching without home runs, and FIP is fielding independent pitching. This is an easier way to look at ERA, basically without the defense behind you, right? So it's a way basically to judge how a pitcher is actually doing minus the defense. I just think that you look at the total in the Red Sox game tonight. Matt Moore, Martin Perez, what's the total? 11.
Oof.
It's going over.
You think so?
Going over.
So
give me the Sox Phillies over 11.
Are you ringing the bell?
Oh, yeah. Tom, can we bring the bell
bright and early today?
Yeah.
Oh. There we go.
There you go. Yeah. Over 11. By the way, you need to have Perez and Moore listed. Has to be I'm going to keep telling you, you need to play listed pitchers in baseball. If you play action, you are going to get screwed. So, listed Perez, Moore, over 11. Yep, so over.
Perez, this dude has not done good. Moore.
Matt Moore. Yeah, I mean, you know Matt Moore. He's been around forever in the majors. Was he the number one prospect over Mike Trout at one time? He was an elite touted prospect. He's been, I mean, you know, he was with Tampa for years, dude, and then was in that, you know, National League. He has not been good. He has not been good since like 2016, something like that. Like he's been pretty trashed the past couple of years. He's actually played 5.52 in 2017. 6.79 in 2018 and 5.60 this year.
He's given up 5, 4, 6, 1, and 13. What's that? 1, 2, 3. His last 5 starts. So, you know, he gives up 5 runs today. It probably goes over, right? 6 runs? Probably goes over.
And the way the Red Sox are hitting right now, I'll take that bet.
Yeah, and they said something this weekend where they really wanted to win this series. And Kiki Hernandez took a little bit of heat from some of the media here, because they have to play that early game after the All-Star break. He kind of complained about that, which whatever.
I mean, I hate the complaining, because like it's just like play the game, but like he's not wrong. It sucks that the Red Sox Yankees have to play Thursday. Like what? Why? Why is it just the Red Sox Yankees and the rest of the league gets an extra day?
I just like how he responded with leadoff home run. You know, all right, cool. You guys want to get on me? All right. And hits that leadoff home run. We kind of talked about this too, if you missed it last week. There's no value in betting the futures on the Red Sox right now.
You missed the boat. And as a guy who liked the under very much in mid myself, you know, You missed the boat. I mean, remember the Red Sox were 20-1 to win the AL East before the year started. 20-1.
What are they? What was the over under again?
What?
81.5. Yep. Yeah. Looking at my account. Oh, ooh, nice little.
Oh, Red Sox to win the division right now are -150.
Yeah, it's a little juiced up, so there's no value. Little juice stuff.
There is no value. Tampa's 2.5 games behind. After that, it's Toronto. I mean, really, it's Boston and Tampa. The race, in my opinion, is over unless something catastrophic happens with either of those two teams. The Yankees and Jays are 9 games out. They're 9 out. Like this, and they're 5 and both those teams are 5-5 in their last 10. It's not like they're streaking and getting hot. The Yankees have a +1 run differential. That's not a team I'm backing to win the division. Just not.
All right. 617-779-0985. We got a ton on the board today. We'll get into the MLB Home Run Derby, the All-Star game as well, that will take place this upcoming week, which is one of the slowest weeks in all of sports. Woof. Now, Dan, we don't talk a lot of tennis here on the show. But there's a Wimbledon final in women's coming up in just a little bit here. I want to look at the line. I don't know anything about it. I might do some research during the break here. I want to give a pick.
Why?
I want to take a look.
Why?
I want to see if there's any value in
this. No, there's no value. It's the Wimbledon final. There's no value on the final.
What about the women's side? I don't know.
No, there's no value on a women's tournament final.
I don't even know the line, Dan.
It doesn't matter.
There's no value?
There's no...
I don't even know the line.
If you're betting on the morning of the final, you have lost all the value that would potentially from the opening line.
Yeah, well, we're learning something.
I'm telling you as... No.
No, we're learning. We have to learn together.
Oh, goodness. You learn on your own. I'll watch you learn. Okay?
I don't know why the women's isn't on DraftKings right now. I want the women's line, damn it.
I can get the line.
Yeah, give me that woman. We'll talk about that. And I want to get into the home run derby.
Here's the line. Barty is -245. Ashley Barty is -245. Carolina Pliskova is +195.
Well, it's come a long way from...
Which, by the way,
Arantxa Sánchez Vicario and Steffi Graf, and I used to be able to name a ton of women tennis players.
Dude, there's no dominant woman in the game right now.
Yeah, and Venus, and well, Serena's hurt. She bowed out,
and the spread in the match today is -3.5.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now,
probably no value.
Unless
you like the underdog.
That's not value. Betting the underdog just because you bet the underdog doesn't make that there's value there. That just means you're literally just betting the dog. Like the number on Pliskova, I guarantee you, has moved heavily. I'll look it up during the break, but I guarantee you that the numbers in this match have already probably moved. The value is shot. You don't bet tennis majors the morning of. You have to bet it like a couple rounds before. That's really where you get the true value and where the value lies.
Yeah, well, Tom Morgan, you know, was hoping to get in a bet on that, you know.
Okay, well, here, how about this?
No value.
Pinnacle opened Pliskova +219. Okay, that's now +195 in American markets. so the value out inside of the American market, there is none. You would need to get, you know, a +220 in a marathon bet, which doesn't offer.
Dan, I hope you know that I was just trying to bet on something.
I'm aware, but what I'm trying to tell you is don't just bet on something because you want to bet on it. That doesn't mean there's value there. No, we're a gambling show that teaches people how to do stuff. We don't just bet because you want to bet. That's not how we do things. Who are you?
I hope everyone learned something here.
Yeah. You just learned that's not a good way to do business.
I was looking for something to do. Dan says that's not the way you do it. And I hope you all learned something.
Even I know that. I don't bet.
I know, Dan. I had a guy. How come you guys never talk Wimbledon? How come you guys haven't talked Wimbledon?
Why? Because the tennis markets these days are so boring.
Well, Djokovic was like at one point I saw he was like 1500 to be the winner. Today he's -625, which is actually better odds than the 1500.
Well, he's facing Berrettini tomorrow in the final. By the way, the Berrettini market has moved too. That opened at +336, got up to 400. You've missed the value on Berrettini.
Last week I was looking at him.
He's down to 370 most places. Yeah. So outside of William Hill, I think he's 4-1 at William Hill. So, yeah, it's hard to bet value in tennis if you've missed the boat. You got to get that good number.
We've missed the boat on the Red Sox. We've missed the boat on Wimbledon.
Well, no, you were on the boat on the Red Sox.
I got the over way back when.
You also have the division.
Oh, that's true.
So you also have the division 8-1 and 3.5-1.
Yep.
Okay. So you didn't. I missed the boat on the Red Sox. You did not miss the boat on the Red Sox. Fair.
Yeah. Just got to.
But trying to bet the women's final the day of, no. You're gonna miss the boat there.
All right. I hope we all learned something. 617-779-0985. The Home Run Derby. Taters, dingers, and dongs. We'll talk about that coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. I just saw that Hard Knocks has the Cowboys this year, which I think will be interesting.
Or a disaster.
But there, did you actually know that there's like betting props on that?
I have not seen those, no.
It's stupid, but...
I'm sure those markets are incredibly small, though.
Who will be the first to talk? And I think it was like McCarthy or Jones.
Okay, yeah, so the markets are super small.
And then who will be the first head coach fired this year? And McCarthy's the favorite. Which I kind of find shocking a little bit.
I would be surprised if it's McCarthy. I would be surprised if it's McCarthy just because Jerry Jones's persistence of sticking with a guy. I mean, how long did he stick with Jason Garrett for? That's not a move that Jerry Jones is making, in my opinion. Especially coming off a year where Dak Prescott just got hurt. Like, how can you get on Mike McCarthy for what happened last year? It's very hard to do that. Now, again, I wasn't paying super close attention to the Dallas Cowboys week in and week out, so I'm sure he probably made some terrible decisions, not saying Mike McCarthy is a good head coach by any means. But as the first coach fired, I don't think so. Honestly, I'd rather bet Mike Tomlin in that situation because I think that
he just got an extension.
I know, but I'm saying like I mean I'd rather bet Mike Tomlin. I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm just saying I'd rather bet Mike Tomlin just based upon the fact that if the Steelers have a down year, what happens to that guy and that organization in general?
Yeah, that offensive line situation there is out of control.
They just cut DeCastro.
I could not believe that. That I don't.
And the rumor is that he wanted to retire, and everyone's like, oh, he might retire. But apparently there's an ankle injury. I think he just wanted to get the hell out of there. Probably, I can't blame him for that.
Probably better off. He'll end up on, if he wants to play, some team will find a spot for him.
You know? Seriously, I mean.
Like, I don't know, Titans could use, somebody will.
If I mean, just wait till like week six.
Well, the Ravens might bring him in. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, but just throwing a few football nuggets in there before we start breaking down. College football, which is, I don't know what I said on the podcast, 125 days. I was wrong. It's like 45 days.
It's 2 months. Not even. It's like a month and a half.
You know what? I'd like to look up that opening weekend at some point. You know how every year they always have like some wicked, like key games, college football. I'm trying to, yeah, because I remember one year they had, what was the opening night? Was it Clemson and...
This year they're doing it. They're not doing a week.
Oh, it's Notre Dame, Florida State is going to be.
They are.
Oh, doing, Alabama,
they
Miami.
They are doing a week zero this year.
Yeah, Alabama. So remember week zero. Remember, yeah.
Yeah. So it's
Alabama, Miami.
It's
is 3:30 that week.
That's week one. That's week one. Week zero is Saturday, August 28th. UTEP, New Mexico State. UConn, Fresno State. Southern Utah, San Jose State, Nebraska, Illinois, which is the big game of the night.
Nebraska should smoke Illinois.
And then Hawaii, UCLA.
Do you know why Nebraska should smoke Illinois, Dan?
Because Illinois, I think, blows. That's why. Because Illinois is a trash can.
That's got to be a t-shirt or a sticker.
That's a trash.
I can't believe that thing hasn't been made.
It's a trash can football program.
Actually, so Nebraska will probably not cover is what's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You want to talk about hate betting someone? Hate betting. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. That has me written all over it 1,000%.
Wait, what was that last game?
Lovie Smith is no longer at Illinois.
Yeah, no.
He got the old can.
What's the Hawaii game again?
Hawaii UCLA, which is a good one. That's 3:30 in the afternoon.
Ooh, I'm going to tell you right now, UCLA is loaded, man.
Yeah, by the way, they got to change that game time. 3:30 in the afternoon in Pasadena. Hawaii, UCLA is your opener? One of your main openers?
I don't know what the line is, Dan. I don't know if there's a
UCLA minus 16.5.
Ooh, that's a lot of points.
By the way, Nebraska's minus 8.5 week one.
That's going to be a heavily...
I mean, I'll tell you right now, I know nothing, but just the 8.5 right there, that makes me want to take the Illini, which sucks because I want to hate bet them so bad.
That's week zero.
Week zero.
And then there is a week one.
We have Maction Wednesday.
Oh, baby.
UAB. Oh, not that yet. Not even, but UAB Jacksonville State.
So,
not Maction,
where's Deion Sanders at?
That is not Jacksonville State.
Okay.
Jackson State.
But UAB had a decent year last
UAB
year.
UAB was very good last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've actually had a pretty good program. They turned it around.
Their quarterback went down early in the year. And then Tyler Johnston got hurt.
That's right.
And they brought in Bryson Lucero.
Remember we talked about this.
Lucero had a couple very good games, and then he flamed out. I mean, he flamed out. But but UAB had like six running backs last year who were ridiculous. And I think they're only returning like two guys of that group. I think Jermaine Brown Jr. is one of the guys. He came on as a freshman last year and was really good. And then Lucius Stanley is the other guy I think they're returning. I think they lost a lot of that running talent in that running back room. And again, I have not started to dig into college football. That's my goal this week is college football and everything else. So I'm going to start digging in. But I would not be surprised if UAB is on the downtrend, even with Johnston and Lucero both coming back. And by the way, Lucero is still freshman this year because last year didn't count for all those guys. So it's like, you know, all these guys get like an extra year of eligibility, and they can choose what they want to be. So Lucero chose the extra year of eligibility. He's still technically a freshman. Pretty crazy.
Huh. One of the games I remember last year from UAB was that overtime game against La Tech.
Yep.
They lost in overtime there. They did beat Marshall.
By the way, week one has some very good games this year.
Yeah, well, I just mentioned. So, Alabama-Miami, I just like the, and we'll do the home run derby come up in a little bit here, but the Alabama-Miami intrigue to me is, you know, now that all the quarterbacks have moved on from Alabama, we're going to see Bryce Young. Dude, I watched Bryce Young. I watched the college, if they have him on NFL Network or SEC Network. They have like an Alabama Crimson versus White game.
Yeah, spring game.
Oh my God, I watched Bryce Young play. He's legit. Oh, he's legit, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to say I need to see
him. He will be a real rookie.
I need to see him in a real game. Let me see him in a real game.
Yeah, they might not have played any defense, you're right, but I like him.
Then
you get De'Aaron King on the other side of that one.
So if he's off an injury, healthy.
Yeah.
That's a question off an ACL. You never know.
Now, Clemson, Georgia is legit.
Clemson, Georgia's legit.
Georgia's got it, but Ugalele, right?
Yep.
Is that how you say it?
I'm just calling him DJ. I cannot do the last name.
He was so good. At times, I know Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick and whatever. There were times where DJ was so good.
I thought DJ was a better fit for their system last year than Trevor Lawrence was at times. I mean, he's huge, man. He's massive.
Clemson has two tough games next year. Well, three. Georgia, and they consider Notre Dame and beat Boston College. BC played them tough last year.
Did they play North Carolina?
Oh, it doesn't say it here, no.
Gotcha.
Because I think it's that ACC division. Notre Dame should beat up on Florida State, but again, we don't know who the Notre Dame quarterback situation should be.
Florida State, Mackenzie Milton, we just kind of talked about that. I mean, that's going to be a different team. This is what, third year? This is the third year down there for Florida State. I mean, this is, you know, like, I think this is going to be a little bit different. Like, Norvell, is it second year for Norvell? Norvell's probably... You know, second year, that's a big difference for them. Like, I don't know. I think that this is going to be
a better year for Florida State. Like,
I don't know really much about Notre Dame returning because last year they were loaded with like just talent, seniors.
They also faced no one.
No one.
It
was embarrassing.
They got smoked by Alabama.
It was embarrassing.
Remember, my biggest complaint was Notre Dame and Clemson being in the final. What happened? Notre Dame and Clemson got smoked in the first. I mean, that sucked. You knew it was going to happen.
It was embarrassing.
By the way, Boise State UCF, sneaky good game Thursday night, September 2nd. UCF minus four.
So I kind of lean UCF in this one, but the problem with UC Central Florida is, and we'll break in a minute here, they can put up points. They don't play tough football where Boise's tough. And they have their returning quarterback, I believe, as well. Remember, he got hurt in that, what was the bowl game? What was it that he got hurt?
He got hurt in a game that we bet.
Yeah.
the game that I bet specifically. I remember that. And, that sucked. I'm blanking on
it. It's so funny how we can remember. I remember college football games like that. Like, I guess I remember some NFL games too, but I could remember college football games like so well. And I remember Boise first play of the game. Oh, it was Boise BYU.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. It was Boise BYU. And on the first.
Hank Bachmeyer.
I
had to look it up because I
couldn't remember. Because he was good even when Rippon was there.
And remember, Jack Sears took over for him. Yep. Sears was good. And he got her like 3 points. It was like, are you kidding me? Oh, Sears, it was so frustrating.
Sears had the scrambling ability and the kind of.
I will say college football was extremely frustrating to bet on last year because of the COVID.
The pandemic. We found out players weren't playing like 10 minutes before kickoff.
Yep.
Remember there was a Miami game where like half the team didn't make the trip?
The first game I bet Georgia Southern, the first game of the season, I laid like 28 with them or whatever. They had over half their team out for COVID.
Yeah, no, I know. It was
last year was all about just getting the information of who the hell was playing. It was not.
Yeah.
By the way, Thursday also Ohio State Minnesota, Ohio State minus 13.5 in that one. UNC Virginia Tech on Friday.
Ooh.
That's not a bad one. UNC currently minus 5.5. Your favorite Big Ten, Michigan State Northwestern minus 6 in that one. And then we got some really good matchups on Saturday.
How about Coastal Carolina? Are they on there?
They're playing Thursday night. They are playing. I was just looking at this. Your boys, they're playing the Citadel.
Yeah.
The Citadel. I think you could probably chalk that up as a W for them. Although, by the way.
The Citadel first half, though, Dan. That's been one of their sneaky bets over the years.
Coastal Carolina running back. I'm blanking on his name from last year.
Yeah.
He signed with the Bears.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
CJ Maribel.
Maribel, yeah.
In the Bears.
Not bad.
He was a good player last year. I would not be shocked if Maribel made the Bears roster.
I think Coastal Carolina, and again, the Roosters, or the Chanticleers, Clears, for those who want it. But their quarterback's, I think, going to be, I think he's going to be, I don't know. Could he be in a Heisman at some point?
Who?
What's his name? The quarterback there, Grayson McCall?
No. I mean, I guess maybe if they go undefeated, they're on the map now. So let me rephrase. Maybe, but unlikely. Is that fair?
No.
Maybe, but unlikely. But, okay, some other good week one games. Penn State, Wisconsin, Joe, that's a good one. Stanford, Kansas State. Fresno State, Oregon, although Fresno State's taking a big downhill.
Ooh, Oregon, they got the big quarterback.
Indiana, Iowa. Indiana was really good last year.
What's up with our boy, Mr. Penix?
I have not looked. West Virginia, Maryland. UMass takes on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is currently laying 37.5 in that one.
Ooh.
The Raging Cajuns in Austin, Texas versus the Longhorns. San Jose State versus USC. That's technically a week two game for San Jose State. They play both those weeks. Let's see. Syracuse is a 1-point favorite over MAC favorite Ohio. Oregon State is a 7-point dog on the road at Purdue.
Oh, they played well last week.
Texas Tech is a 2.5-point favorite at Houston.
Ooh, Houston.
Let's see.
looking here for some other good ones. FAU, Florida, we talked about Georgia, Clemson, which is definitely the week one gem.
I just got excited for football.
LSU, UCLA. LSU minus 4.5 at UCLA. Ooh. And the Rose Bowl. And then some late night West Coast games. Nevada, Cal. You love Nevada last year.
Get that up tempo.
Cal currently minus 3.5 in that one. BYU minus 11.5 at Arizona, which is actually a neutral site game in Vegas. Maybe we should go to that game. Yeah.
All right. This Hour of the Sports was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They want to help you prepare your car for summer travel. They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit getanoilchange.com for a coupon to save on your oil change. Home Run Derby coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.